A major earthquake near the Aleutian Islands overnight meant a rude awakening, but no damage for some Alaska residents. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez has more.
For the second time this summer, residents of the Aleutian Islands evacuated for a tsunami warning. A 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit just before 3 in the morning Alaska time in a mostly unpopulated area of the state. The fishing town of Unalaska lies about 200 miles away from the epicenter, and a wave was expected to hit there just after 4. Jarrell Burkholder and his fiancée were among the residents woken from their beds.
The cop cars were flying by, and then the big loudspeaker was, "This is not a drill. Get out of here." And we went to higher ground, and I knew the drill. Woke her up, and then we got out of Dodge.
According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, no destructive wave was recorded and coastal states are no longer in danger. I'm Alexander Gutierrez in Unalaska.
And the 7.1 preliminary magnitude of that quake has since been revised down to 6.8. Alaska Electric Light and Power and Juneau ratepayers hope to learn the size of a pending rate increase today. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska last week extended its decision for the second time. In July, the commission announced it would issue its final order on August 26th, a month later than expected, and on the 26th, it was extended to September 2nd. AEL&P requested a 22% permanent rate increase in May 2010. The commission granted 18.5% in July 2010, with the final decision to come 12 months later. If the permanent increase is less than the interim, the company would have to refund the difference. A utility workers' strike in Anchorage has been averted due to health concerns. On Wednesday, Anchorage Water and Wastewater utility workers voted overwhelmingly to go on strike after a dispute between the municipality and the Plumbers and Pipefitters Union, Local 367, over wage increases in a new contract. But yesterday, the city received a court injunction enjoining the workers from striking. Superior Court Judge Frank Fifner says Anchorage Municipal Code bars the city's utility workers from going on strike for an unlimited length of time because of health issues. Attorney Charles Dunnigan represents the Plumbers Union. He says the union is cooperating with the ruling.
We've been on board with this from the beginning. I sent them a letter basically giving them the preliminary injunction. Agreeing that a strike would cause, have the potential to cause irreparable harm to the public, and gave them in writing statements that triggered their ability to get an injunction. We did not oppose them on any point.
The union had announced its intentions to go on strike today, but Dunnigan says it may be permanently enjoined because of the importance of the water employees' work. However, he says if the union gives up its right to strike, workers may gain some of their contract goals. Under the judge's ruling, the contract dispute will go to the courts. A hearing is set for November 10th. Hotel employee union members in Anchorage are celebrating what they say is a major win in its labor battle with the Sheraton Anchorage. A federal judge has sided with Unite Here Local 878 in many of its complaints against the hotel. KSKA's Ellen Lockyer reports.
Anna Rodriguez worked as a housekeeping supervisor at the Sheraton Anchorage. She says she was fired from her job there last December because of her union activities. But Thursday, Anna says housekeepers at the Sheraton will benefit from a court decision which will give them back their 30-minute breaks and reduce the number of rooms that they must clean each day from 17 to 15.
Well, it's very hard to do those 17 rooms for the ladies. Some of them are cutting their break in order to finish their 17 rooms. Some of them getting hurt because of the stress and the hurry to finish the 17 rooms. Otherwise, they get in trouble if they don't finish the 17 rooms.
She says Sheraton management upped the number of rooms a maid must clean in a workday, and that's just one of the complaints the union filed against the hotel with the National Labor Relations Board. Thursday, Unite Here officials announced a victory in the ongoing dispute with the Sheraton. Vince Beltrami, president of Alaska's AFL-CIO, says the decision by Washington, D.C.-based administrative law judge Gregory Z. Meyerson has vindicated workers' rights.
This company broke the law. They violated the rights of these workers. And these workers need to be commended for standing up for their rights for doing what they know is right to ensure just nothing but decent treatment in the workplace. These workers haven't asked for huge raises and outlandish, you know, requests from management. They basically said, let us keep doing our jobs, don't try to add more to what we do, pay us reasonably, and let us retain the health care that we've had for contracts for years.
The union brought 16 complaints of labor violations against the Sheraton to court, among them objections to the replacement of the union-sponsored medical plan with a company-selected plan, and the hotel's refusal to accept the union as the lawful representative of the hotel's hourly wage workers. Marvin Jones, president of Unite Here Local 878, says the dispute with the Sheraton began when the hotel management was taken over by a Texas company, Remington Lodging and Hospitality. Jones says the hotel workers involved in the dispute are longtime employees that make their home in Anchorage.
The company thought that being in Alaska would be an easy target. I think that backfired. The workers have been much stronger than they anticipated.
Judge Meyerson's decision validated about half of the allegations the union brought against the hotel. Carl Terrell, an attorney for Remington, said in an email the NLRB is biased and that he is not surprised by Judge Meyerson's decision. Terrell says Remington is pleased that the judge sided with the Sheraton on several important issues, quote, including his determination that the hotel negotiated in good faith. The judge's decision is only a recommendation to the board in Washington as to how it should rule. We will be filing exceptions to the parts of the judge's adverse recommendation that we disagree with, unquote. Terrell says many hotel employees voted to stay out of the union and that the Sheraton is fighting to protect their rights. Despite Judge Meyerson's August 25th decision, the dispute is far from over. Union President Marvin Jones says a boycott against the Sheraton will continue.
Well, the next step is we have to continue with the attitude that we will fight one day longer. I mean, that's really the attitude that we have to have. It's been the thing that has kept these members' spirits up. And that if we have the attitude, then people are not disappointed or frustrated with how long this is going to take, because we understand that management's intention is to break the will of the people, is to break this local financially.
Jones says an employee contract with the Sheraton is still on the table. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
Oil prices are down this morning. West Texas Intermediate for October is at $88.92 a barrel. Brent is at $112.69 a barrel. Gold is higher this morning, up nearly 3% to $1,882 an ounce. Silver is also up to $43.29 an ounce. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO. The president of Doyon Limited is retiring. Norman L. Phillips Jr. announced Thursday that he'll retire on September 30th. He's been with the Native Corporation for 23 years and president since May 2008. He says he'll assist with the transition of his replacement after retirement. Doyon is among the largest landowners in Alaska with more than 12.5 million acres. The company has 18,300 shareholders and 2,500 employees. A tearful Ryan West was arraigned in Juneau Superior Court yesterday, where he pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder in connection with the death of 19-year-old Gabriel Cart. The 25-year-old West was indicted by a Juneau grand jury a week ago. Public defender David Side entered the plea on West's behalf.
I'd ask the court to accept a not guilty plea, and we would request a jury trial.
On June 6th, West and Cart were riding in a truck that flipped over multiple times at Mile 35 Glacier Highway. Cart was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. West was treated for minor injuries. Juneau police said alcohol and excessive speed were factors in the crash, but at the time of the preliminary investigation, it wasn't clear who was driving. The grand jury indictment charges that West did knowingly engage in conduct that resulted in the death of Cart under circumstances manifesting an extreme indifference to the value of human life. District Attorney David Brower asked for bail to be set at $500,000. He He noted that West was already on probation stemming from an earlier case where a 19-year-old woman was seriously injured after being dragged by West's truck. Judge Philip Hallenberg agreed.
I would make the comment that the amount of the bail is high, not only because of the nature of this offense, but because of the nature of the previous offense, in that it involved a person who was very seriously injured as a result of the operation of Mr. West's vehicle.
Pallenberg set a 2-week trial to begin December 5th. The case was originally assigned to Judge Patricia Collins, who is now retired. It will instead be presided over by incoming Judge Luis Menendez. A federal judge in Anchorage has given prosecutors more time to decide whether to call Bill Allen in the corruption retrial of former state lawmaker Vic Coring. Prosecutors were to have decided by Wednesday whether to call Allen, but they asked the judge to give them until September 30th, saying they were finalizing travel arrangements to New Mexico to meet with Allen and needed time to then consult with him. U.S. District Judge Ralph Beislein granted the request yesterday. Allen was chairman of now-defunct oilfield services company Vico, who pleaded guilty to bribery and tax violations in a corruption probe that ensnared Alaska politicians, including Coring. Coring's 2007 conviction was overturned due to prosecutorial errors. His retrial set to start October 31st. Meanwhile, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Anchorage has taken over the corruption retrials of Coring and former state lawmaker Pete Cott. Last month, several Justice Department attorneys from Washington, D.C. withdrew from the cases. They said in court papers that they had not been involved since the convictions of Cott and Coring were overturned. They also said prosecution is fully staffed by attorneys familiar with the facts and legal issues surrounding the cases. The Anchorage office was recused from a corruption investigation that ensnared Alaska politicians in the late 2000s to avoid potential conflicts of interest. Kevin Feldes, chief of the office's criminal division, said the recusal has been lifted but declined to elaborate. In weekend high school football action, the Juno Douglas Crimson Bears take on the Colony Knights on home turf. The Thunder Mountain Falcons play in Sitka and Ketchikan. The undefeated Bears have scored 154 points in their first three games. With just 19 points so far, the Knights have not won a game. But last year, the Colony Knights were Rail Belt Conference champs, and while the Crimson Bears are looking for a home field advantage tonight, head coach Rich Soros says there's also some revenge involved.
That'll be great to get them back in here. They beat us last year, for the first time they've ever beaten us, and they gave us a pretty good whooping up there, so it'll be nice to get them to come down to Juneau.
The Thunder Mountain Falcons game against the Sitka Wolves is the Falcons' first Southeast Conference game of the season. Sitka has one win and one loss, while Thunder Mountain has three losses. Head coach Bill Boyer says Sitka will pose another threat to the injury-struck Falcons.
These guys are going to come at us hard. I'm sure everybody knows by now that I don't have the numbers.
A number of junior varsity players have moved up to fill in for the injured varsity Falcons. Tomorrow's varsity game in Sitka is at 6 o'clock. The JV Falcons play in Ketchikan. While high school teams outside are just beginning their football season, the Alaska season has been underway for nearly a month. With conference play well underway, it's that time of year when the teams begin to calculate what it will take to get to the playoffs, says Crimson Bears head coach Soros.
This is where you kind of start separating the teams out and get the pecking order and find out, you know, who's going to be playing in October.
The Crimson Bears and Colony Knights junior varsities kick off tonight at Adair Kennedy Field at 5 o'clock. The varsity takes the field at 8 o'clock. Tired of the August rain? I think we all are. Well, it's over, and we had a chance to dry out yesterday before the fall rains begin. According to the National Weather Service, Juneau got nearly 5 inches more rain than usual for the month of August, and the daily high temperature was about 5 degrees below normal. Rosemary Alexander talked with National Weather Service meteorologist Rick Fritsch.
The daytime highs were abysmal. Normally, we should be seeing something close to 63, 62.7 is considered normal. Of course, it was a soaking August. Normally, we see 5.7 inches of rain, and what we saw was 10.72, so it was just really wet.
Yep, August pushed us beyond normal precip since last November.
And we are now ahead for the year 1.29 inches after that soaking August we just had.
It only took 1 month.
Yep, it took 1 month. But, of course, you know, you get a lot of rain in the course of 1 month, but not all of that sank into the ground. A lot of it did run into the reservoirs like Dorothy Lake. So for hydro purposes, that's good for us. And this is a very good time of the year to have that because all the snow melt is over, and the hydro reservoirs could surely use a shot in the arm, and they got that.
Fritsch blames August's lousy weather on an upper-level trough that just seemed to park itself over the Gulf of Alaska.
And what that does is really serves as sort of an atmospheric magnet for surface lows to come into the Gulf of Alaska. Of course, the surface lows are the ones that have the fronts associated with them. And we've had what in meteorological circles sometimes is referred to as an atmospheric river, which is a more long-lived version of the Pineapple Express. Big plume of moisture in the mid-level of the atmosphere that extends from the vicinity of Hawaii runs all the way up to us. Well, an atmospheric river is very much like that, but it's a little bit broader in scale, a little bit more long-lived, and extends from, in this case, the Panhandle, all the way across the ocean to eastern Asia. And we've had various iterations of that for the majority of the month of August.
But now it's September, and
the rain's coming in, and it's going to rain for 5 days.
Oh, you're just the bearer. Good news.
It's really sad. That is unless, of course, you're a rainforest and you like this kind of weather.
And today's weather calls for, what else? Rain. Cloudy with patchy fogs this morning, then rain developing by afternoon. Highs around 51. Rain tonight, lows around 50, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Saturday, rain heavy at times, highs around 53 with southeast winds 10 miles per hour and showers Saturday night, lows around 49. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO Juneau.